day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. Now, for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Shazan Chigeni. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Heather. And welcome to WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is reading J2C Trace for WebSphere Application Server Version 6. If you have not yet joined the meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on WebSphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the meeting, you will see the presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen and select Make Shared Area Full Screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time or would like to download a copy of the presentation, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. This document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 7009658 in the search box found at the very top of the right page. Once again, that number is 7009658. This call is being recorded, so you can play it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a quick question and answer period. Today's presenters are Marie Gan and Tuyang Pham. Marie Dennis Gan is a staff software engineer with IBM in Rochester, Minnesota. Marie currently works with WebSphere Application Server Development Organization on the Level 3 support team for the J2C, Relational Resource Adapter, Scheduler, and Async Beans components. Marie has been with IBM as a software engineer for several years, during which she has worked on application development, software performance, and high availability solutions. Tuyang Pham is an advisory software engineer working as a team leader for IBM WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support Group in RTP, North Carolina. Tuyang has more than 17 years of experience in the IT industry, where she has spent the last 13 years providing technical support and consulting in the fields of databases, development tools, and application servers. Tuyang has also 4 years of experience as a software engineer involved in the development of an application code generator and various financial applications. Before joining IBM and RTP 5 years ago, Tuyang worked for Data Direct Technologies, formerly known as Mirant, Intersolve, Oracle, Software AG of Canada. Tuyang holds a Bachelor of Mathematics degree, joint honors in the fields of computer science, combinatronics, and optimizations from University of Waterloo in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Marie Denise and Tuyang.
Hello, everyone. Let's just get started and we'll jump right in. As was stated, today's presentation is intended to help you understand the information you would see in J2C Connection Pool Trace for IBM WebSphere Application Server version 6. Let's go to slide 2. The agenda we prepared for you today is just a brief introduction into what J2C is. We're going to present you the most common used trace strings. We're not going to present you all of the J2C trace options. And then we're going to discuss some terminology. Our intent here is just to give you enough terminology that you can look at the trace and understand what's going on in the trace and compare that to your application code. Next, we're going to cover what a resource lookup is and what you would see in a J2C trace on a resource lookup. Then we're going to go and move into a connection, a get connection request, and we're going to show you what your application code would look like and what you'd see in your J2C trace of that code. We're going to discuss local transaction containment and user transaction containment. We'll also discuss connection pool dumps and what information can be gleaned from looking at a connection pool dump in the trace. Then we'll move on to connection close requests and what you would see both in, again, in local transaction containment and user transaction containment. And we'll close with just presenting you with some new trace option that we have, which is called connection leak logic. Slide 3, please. Okay. IBM WebSphere Application Server version 6 provides implementation and support for the 1.5 specification of J2EE connection architecture. You'll hear us use the acronym JCA throughout the presentation, and that's what we're referring to. What JCA does is it provides a standard mechanism that allows applications to connect and use heterogeneous resources from enterprise information systems, such as relational database systems. The J2C component provides connection management based on JCA. What this presentation, as we stated, is intended to do is help you understand and interpret the information that you would see in a trace of the J2C component of WebSphere. Slide 4. These are the most common used trace options. These aren't all the trace options. The first one we presented is WAS.J2C. When this is on or enabled, it's going to trace all the classes in the J2C component. You do have the option, if you're using the admin console GUI, to trace subclasses. You don't have to trace every single class, but for the most part, this is what we recommend. By default, when you enable J2C trace, connection leak logic trace is also going to be enabled. And what this does is, if we connection has been in use longer than 10 seconds, it's going to print the stack of the connection get connection request for that connection, so you can see the application that's holding the stack. But this trace feature can be disabled by simply turning it off, and we've supplied you with the trace string there, con leak logic equals off. And a new trace feature that we've added to the J2C is called connection close logic, and the trace string for that is con close logic, and you simply enable it by turning it on. With this trace feature, you have to enable it manually. It's not selectable in the GUI in 6.0 forward. I believe in the 5.1x service streams, it is selectable in the GUI. And this is not part of the J2C trace by default, so you must enable it separately. Okay, we're going to move now into some terminology. And as we stated, this isn't a presentation to explain J2C to you. Here our goal was just to give you enough terminology so that you could understand the trace data and reconcile that back to your application. So as we stated earlier, J2C is WebSphere Application Server's JCA implementation. Application component, or you'll hear support people or developers say the application. And basically this refers to the part of an application such as a servlet or an EJB that normally runs on an application server, in this case WebSphere. The RM, or Resource Manager, that's the logical front end which manages the resource of an enterprise information system or relational database. You'll hear us say the RA or the RRA, stands for Resource Adapter, or IBM's Relational Resource Adapter when you hear RRA. And basically the Resource Adapter provides connectivity between the application component and the Resource Manager for the EIS, and it does this based on JCA. Slide 6. A connection. A connection is what provides connectivity to the database or EIS for an application. Sometimes we say connection handle. Connection pooling. This is the concept of pooling connections into a pool so that connections can be shared or reused. And we're going to talk a little bit more about connection sharing in the later slides. But basically, connection pooling provides lower latency for connection requests because you're not destroying and recreating connection objects. And also through sharing, it requires less resources to be used by the EIS or relational database. Slide 7. Connection factory. The RA, or resource adapter, provides a connection factory as an interface for the application component to request a connection to the EIS or database. A data source is a specific type of connection factory, so data source connection factory, it's what your application code would execute a get connection request against, and we'll see that in later slides. The connection manager is the JCA interface, which provides the hook for the RA to delegate a connection request to the application server, in this case WebSphere. Each resource, or each unique resource, has its own unique connection manager. The connection request information, or CRI, you'll hear that a lot, and that basically contains the RA's own request, connection request specific data. Slide 8. Okay, MCF, or Managed Connection Factory. This is the RA's interface for the app server to match and create managed connections. Managed Connection, or MC, this is the RA's interface to represent an enterprise information system connection or relational database connection back to the application server, which in this case is WebSphere. We'll talk more about managed connections when we go over the pool manager dump. Managed connection wrapper. WebSphere wrappers managed connection objects, and we call it a MIC wrapper or a managed connection wrapper or MCW. And what this does is allows us to maintain state information and other data about the managed connection. And we've listed here some of the possible states that a managed connection could be in. State new is when the managed connection is initially created. State active free, the managed connection isn't currently allocated to any users. I'm not going to cover them all, but you can see them there, and we're going to talk about them more when we look at the pool manager dump. But state transaction wrapper in use, this particular managed connection is allocated to user and is currently associated with a transaction context. Slide 9. Here's connection handle. This is the Java object that is returned to an application when a GET connection request is executed. So when your application code does a GET connection request, you're handed back, or the code is handed back, a connection handle. And this is a reference to the RA's managed connection object. Connection event listener. A connection listener is attached to a managed connection when it's created so that significant events that occur on the connection, such as close request or error, can be sent back to J2C and the proper action can be taken. A pool manager. This is J2C object which implements connection pooling. And there's always one pool manager per connection factory or data source. And a J2C connection pool can be thought of as having three sub-pools, which you'll also see in the pool dump in later slides. There's the free pool when a connection is no longer in use, the shared pool, and the unshared pool. Slide 10. Okay, shareable connections. There has to be a scope for sharing of connections to happen, and the most common scope is the transaction scope. And there's two transaction scopes within WebSphere which connection sharing happens in. The first is a global transaction, which is either a user-initiated transaction or one initiated by the EJB container. And there's also local transaction containment, which would always be established in the absence of a global transaction containment. What connection sharing does is it allows multiple GET connection requests by different part of your application to be provided a handle to the same managed connection. And in a user transaction context, this can happen simultaneously. But in a local transaction context, WebSphere only provides serial reuse of managed connections, and we're going to cover that in the slides to come too. But as we said earlier, connection sharing is meant to reduce latency and the number of resources required. Slide 11. For connection sharing to happen, there are some conditions that need to be met. When we have two distinct GET connection requests that want to share a connection, they have to have these following properties in common. They must have the same JNDI name. They must be using the same resource authentication method, either both component-component or container aliases, or passing the same username or password on the GET connection request, or the same custom property username password. They must also have the same transaction isolation level, and the connection read-only catalog and type map properties must match. And we're going to show you what that looks like in the trace in a moment. Slide 12. Unshared connections are connections that are just used and returned to the free pool when they're closed. They're not shared. And you can go to the Information Center for more information about unshared connections. 13. Basically, local transaction containment, as we said earlier, is always established in the absence of a global TRAN. And there's some information on this slide for you about local transaction containment, but we're not really going to get too deep into that, just to understand that it's always established in the absence of a user transaction containment. Slide 14. Okay, so now we're going to move into understanding what happens in the trace and what you see in the trace from the J2C component. So the first thing you would see is when the application server is started, the J2C RA Lifecycle Manager is signaled to call the start RA method, and we're going to see the trace data for that in a moment. And the WebSphere runtime is going to invoke the create connection referenceable object in J2C to create a reference to each connection factory or data source. These references are then bound into the JNDI namespace so that lookups can happen against them. So let's go to slide 15. So here we see on server startup, we see the entry point at the top of the slide. We see the RA lifecycle manager method, and we see its entry point, and we're calling start RA. And you can see from the environment we pulled this trace from that we're calling start RA on the WebSphere relational resource adapter. And you look down below that, and you can see there that I have two data sources configured with two different JNDI names. It tells you that they're DB2 universal. They're using the DB2 universal JDBC driver. And a good thing to do in your search is to always search on the JNDI name. That's an easy way to find your resource. Or you can search for the start RA method. Slide 16. So we're continuing on with the startup. And now we've called the create connection factory referenceable object method. And this is the entry point. We've shortened the trace data here, but we just wanted to point out to you that what you can do is you search for this method entry point, and you can search for the JNDI name of your resource. And at this point, we're going to list all of the resources that were properties that were discovered for this resource. If you read in there, you can see, you know, whether or not test connection is enabled. You can see what type of resource it is. And you'll see input param 1, which we have listed here. But following that, you'll see input param 2 and input param 3. So this is a good search point to look in your trace to make sure your resource is bound in the namespace correctly on server startup. Let's go to slide 17. Okay, so here we're going to start moving into application code, and this is actually a sample of what a lookup would look like. And the recommended method for doing lookups is to do an indirect lookup, meaning you're looking up a resource reference to a resource rather than looking up the resource itself. But we've chosen here to show you both types of lookups. What a resource reference is it can specify unique properties or attributes about how you want to use the resource, such as isolation level or various other transactional properties. An application can have different ways of using the same connection factory or data source by using multiple resource references with unique attributes. Slide 18. Okay, so what happens on lookup is JNDI will call the J2C connection factory builder get object instance method identified by the bound referenceable in JNDI, which was done on server startup. The managed connection factory, the connection factory, and the pool manager objects will then be created using the properties defined in the WebSphere configuration. A connection manager instance is also created using the CM config data created from the attributes on the resource reference. And finally, the get object instance method will return a reference to the connection factory to JNDI, which will cache it and return the reference to the application in response to lookups. So let's see what that looks like in the trace, slide 19. Okay, so here we're starting our lookup, and we're entering our get object instance method, and we tell you the JNDI name of the resource. In this case, it's my Snoop data source. And then next you see some information about, I wanted to point this out, about the component managed alias that I'm using. The trace reads component managed username from alias or custom property is mdgan. That is the name of the component managed alias I'm using. The messages in blue and green are other messages you could possibly see in the trace. If the component managed alias username is blank or null, we'll attempt to use the custom property username and password. You would see that message. And lastly, if both the component managed username is null and the custom property username and password are null, we'll print out a message to let you know that too. So after we've dealt with the alias, we move on and we create our pool manager object. So you'll see the entry point there for the pool manager initialization method, and we're reading in all the properties for this particular pool manager, such as connection timeout, purge policy, and unused timeout. Slide 20. Okay, so as we said before, there's two different types of lookup, direct and indirect. A direct lookup would not have a resource reference, and you would see this message in the trace, J2CA0294W, which tells you that you're doing a direct lookup, which is deprecated. But a default resource reference is going to be created for you. And also at the top of the screen there, you can see resource ref or bean name used to create cmconfig data is null. So if I was using a resource reference, as you'll see in a moment, you would see the name there. So in this case, we look down at the resource reference that was created for me. It's created based on the properties that were defined on the data source, and I chose to use component manage authentication alias, which in the trace comes out as application. So whenever you see ResAuth application in the trace, that maps to using the component managed authentication alias in the GUI. So next let's look at the indirect lookup. And as I said, when you're doing an indirect lookup, the first line will tell you the name of the resource reference. And then when we see, we search on our cmconfig data, we see the properties that were specified on the resource reference. And in this case, they're using container managed authentication alias, and they've chosen to set the isolation level to transaction repeatable read. Slide 21. So now we're still continuing on with our lookup, and we've skipped some trace points here, but we wanted to point out to you that you can go to, you can search for this trace point, the J2CXA resource read object exit trace point, and here we'd list all the properties that were found in for this particular resource. So we didn't list them all, but you can see from looking at this trace that under deployed resource adapter properties, my authentication alias is there, and to the right it tells you the name. It's the Snoop alias. There'll be a following section, resource adapter DD, and there you can see some of the custom properties I had defined on my data source. And then, again, we list the resource reference for you. So searching for this read object exit is a good thing to search for because you'll get a listing of all the properties that were read in with this resource on the lookup. Slide 22. And lastly, we're finishing our JNDI lookup, and we are creating our connection manager instance there, and we exit our connection factory get object instance method. Okay, slide 23. Okay, so we're moving forward here into what actually happens on a get connection request. And we've chosen in this example to show you what happens in a get connection request for local transaction containment. And the example we're going to show you is based on using an auto-commit setting of true. And also currently there is a connection in the shared pool that's available for use before this get connection request. So let's move on to look at the trace. Slide 24, please. Okay, so when we enter the get connection request, allocate connection is called, and we see that the connection manager gets all the input data for this particular connection request, and it calls reserve on the pool manager. And so what we want to point out to you here is on the pool manager reserve entry, you're going to see the input parameters. Parameters that have highlighted in blue are the parameters that are necessary for connection sharing to happen. So if you have two connection requests and you thought they should be shared and they weren't, the thing to do is to look for the JNDI name and look for these input parameters and make sure they match on both reserve requests. Because if they don't match, connection sharing can occur. And these parameters are first the subject, the affinity, the username, and password. Now, in this trace, you see that the username and password are null. Those are always going to be null unless you're using a custom property username and password, or you're actually passing in a username and password in your get connection request. Is the catalog is read-only and type match properties must match, and the isolation level must match. Also, in the pool manager input parameters, you see that I have subject null. This is because I'm using a component managed authentication alias. If I was using a container managed authentication alias, there would be a subject here. That's a question we commonly get asked. So when the subject is null, we're using a component managed authentication alias. When you have a subject, it's a container managed authentication alias. Let's move to slide 25. Okay, so we're still in our allocate connection request, but during the reserve method, on the way in, we take what's called a pool manager dump, and we show you all the connections that are currently in the connection pool. And Pool Manager Dump provides a lot of valuable information about the connection pool and its current state. First thing we show you is the JNDI name. Then you can see there we provide you with the total number of connections in the pool and the properties for the pool, the max connections and the min connections. We provide you with what your unused age timeouts are set for this resource and things like your purge policy. So it's a good place to look to find out the properties on your connection pool. Then, as we said earlier, a connection pool has three sub-pools, shared, freed, and unshared, and we're going to list the contents of all those pools. And you see in this particular slide, I have a connection in the shared pool, and from looking at the trace, you can glean that it's associated with a transaction, and that transaction is running. Next, you'll see that it's a managed connection wrapper, which is WebSphere's wrapper object for the managed connection, its ID number. Next, you'll see its actual managed connection, and then you'll see the state that this is in, and it's in state trans wrapper in use, so it means it currently involves in a transaction. And you can see the thread ID that this connection request came from. Currently, this particular transaction has a handle count of 0, which means the application is in a local transaction containment. It got a connection, and it closed the connection, but it's still, that local transaction containment has an end. We haven't come to the commit boundary. So let's move on to slide 26. So we're attempting to pull this connection out of the shared pool. So we enter the get shared connection method, and we exit that. And on the exit point of the get shared connection method there, you see the managed connection that we found that matched our connection request. So we're able to share connections in this instance. So now we're going to dump the connection pool again to show you the contents. And you'll see that shared connection is still in the pool. Let's go to 27. And after we take the second connection pool dump on our reserve request, we actually list the managed connection that was returned and handed out or allocated in this case right here. Then we exit our reserve. And lastly, the get connection exit method where you see the COM, IBM, WS, WSJCC SQLJ connection object. This is the actual connection handle that's handed back to your application, and we exit our allocate connection request. Let's move on to 28. Okay, so as we said earlier, when a managed connection is created, a connection event listener is attached to that managed connection, and what the listener does is it listens for errors and significant events on the connection that need to be reported back to J2C. And a connection close would be a significant event. So slide 29, please. This is what a connection close would look like when the LTC containment isn't complete. We're not going to release the connection back to the pool, but we are going to free up the connection handle. So here you'll see we entered the connection close request. We show you the handle that's being closed and the managed connection it's associated with, that is currently involved in a transaction, and we exit the connection close request. Later we'll cover what happens when the LTC is actually ended. Let's move on to slide 30. Okay, this next example we're going to show you before we show you the LTC end is what happens when I am using local transaction containment and I have a connection in the shared pool that's currently allocated and I try to get a second connection. So as you see in the code snippet there at the bottom of the slide, what's happened here is we're in an LTC because we're in the absence of a user trans, so a local transaction containment is going to be started for us, and we've done two get connection requests in a row. And we would think that this would be using the same managed connection, but as we said earlier, LTCs only allow for serial connection reuse. So let's go to slide 31. So once again, we enter our allocate connection request here, and as stated, this is the same. We enter our reserve method, and the objects in blue must match for connection sharing to happen. So let's go to slide 32. We're still in our reserve, so we take a dump of the connection pool to see its current state, slide 33. So now we're going to search the shared pool to see if we can match a managed connection to our current connection request. And if you look right before we get our J2CA message, we're told that handle count equals 1. When you see this exit of the shared pool, it means that the connections did match, but this connection already has a handle associated to this managed connection, so we can't share because we're in local transaction containment. So what the trace will do is you'll get this J2CA0086W message, which is basically a warning telling you that there was an attempt to share connections within the local transaction containment, but it couldn't happen because the handle wasn't closed previously. So the code is going to continue on with the get connection request, and you're going to see another connection pool dump. Let's move on to slide 34. And then what we're going to do is we're going to print the stack for the current get connection request. And then let's go to slide 35. And we're going to print the stack for the previous get connection request. And we've chosen to do this because a lot of times we find that developers in their applications believe they should be sharing connections and they don't understand why. So the reason we've added these stacks is that you can actually reconcile this to the application code and see the exact line where the get connection requests were executed from and see if the connections are properly being closed in between each use. We recommend that when you're using local transaction containment, you follow the model of get a connection, use that connection, close that connection. At that point, we're going to put it back in the free pool, and then you can do another get, use, close. The connection will, we're going to put it back in the shared pool. The connection will stay in the shared pool until the LTC ends. Let's go to 36. So we exit our get shared connection, and because the managed connection in the shared pool at the moment has an open handle to it, we can't share it, so we return null, and we're going to have to create a new managed connection for this connection request. And you see that happening there. There's a new managed connection happening, and it's being wrapped in a wrapper object to maintain the state. And we mark it in use. And then at the bottom of the slide there, we're going to set it in the shared pool. Let's go to 37. And here you see this new managed connection is now placed in the shared pool. So now we have two managed connections open that point to the same resource. And this is often a source of deadlocks and PMRs and a lot of code problems. So this is really something to watch for when you're attempting to do connection sharing using local transaction containment. Slide 38. Okay, so we're coming out of our reserve now and we're finishing. And we finished allocating the managed connection wrapper. We're making sure that it's associated with the correct transaction. And let's go to 39. And finally, at the end of 39, at the bottom there, we have our connection handle, which is handed back to the application, which is associated with this new managed connection we've created. Okay, slide 40. Okay, now we're going to just show you the trace points of what you would see when a release connection is done when the LTC completes. And in this particular example, the application that we traced is behaving properly. All the connection handles have been closed, and our LTC is just ending now, so the transaction is committing. So the first trace point you would always see is before completion, then we'd go into our after completion code, and then we'd actually start releasing the managed connection back to the free pool, which pool manager release is always a good search string to search for when you want to search for managed connections being released. So as soon as we enter our release method, we begin a pool manager dump. If we can move to slide 41. This, again, is a pool manager dump at the release. And right now we see we have one connection in the free pool, and we have a connection in the shared pool. And this connection in the shared pool is the one we're releasing. So let's go to slide 42. So we see we enter the shared pool, and we actually remove the managed connection from the shared pool. Then we place it in the free pool, and then we call cleanup on the managed connection wrapper to clean up the state and set the wrapper object back to its appropriate state. And then we exit our cleanup method, and let's go to slide 43. And we take another pool manager dump on the way out of the release method, and you can look at the free pool now and see that we actually have two managed connections in the free pool that are in state active free, meaning they're not associated with any transaction or connection or user at this moment. Slide 44. Okay, real briefly, this is what you would expect to see if you had connection close logic enabled. And basically the reason we added this was we had a lot of problems with PMRs coming in where connection handles were being passed between threads, and there's no real easy way to detect this. We would see errors such as connection closed, and one thread would be closing a connection out from another thread that was trying to use it. So we decided to add this trace feature, which allows you to dump the stack of a connection closed, and you can actually see what application code was closing a connection. And this is a good way to track down when connections were closed and they shouldn't have been. So what you would see on with the connection closed logic enabled is you would see the connection event, listener, connection closed, entry point, and then you would see the stack telling you where the connection closed was driven from, and then you would see the information about the handle and the managed connection that we're actually closing. Okay, slide 45. Okay, we're going to just talk about user transactions, and basically this example here, we're just going to show you an example of connection sharing in a user tran. So we have an application, and it comes in, and it does a get connection in a user transaction containment context. Let's go to 46. So this is all very similar to the LTC, except we're in a user tran. We enter our allocate connection. The same principles of connection sharing apply. The same objects in blue there must match for connection sharing to happen. Slide 47. Again, those parameters in blue have to match for connection sharing to happen. Slide 48. So we're in our reserve, and here you can see that there is currently a connection in the shared pool, and it has a handle count of 1. And because we're in a user transaction, we can share this connection even though it already has an open handle, because user transactions allow multiple handles open to the same managed connection, whereas LTCs would not. So at the bottom of the slide there, when we exit our get shared connection, we actually are able to return this managed connection and give out a second handle to it, to the application. Slide 49. So you'll see that we take our pool manager dump on the way out of the reserve, and you'll see the shared connection is in the shared pool, and you'll see that it's also the same connection that we're returning to this application. The handle count doesn't say 2 here yet because we take the connection pool dump on the way out of the reserve. If we were to dump the connection pool immediately after the reserve of this allocate, you would see the handle count is 2 for that particular managed connection. And so now we're exiting our reserve method, and you see we're handing out a connection handle back to the application. So this application code now holds 2 connection handles that point to the same managed connection. Slide 50. Okay, we're going to just show you what happens when you call commit on a user tran, which looks pretty much identical to what happens when an LTC ends. So let's go to slide 51. Again, we start with the before completion method, and then we call the after completion method, and then the after completion method begins to end the transaction. We release our managed connection back to the free pool that was associated with this transaction. In this case, again, all connection handles had been closed before commit was called, so our managed connection is in the pool with a handle count of 0. Let's go to 52. We take another pool manager dump on the way in to the release method. And at the bottom of the slide there, you see that we're beginning to return this managed connection back to the free pool. Slide 53. You see that cleanup is called and it's returned to the free pool. And in our final pool manager dump there, you actually see the managed connection in the free pool. Let's go to 54. Okay, real briefly, just wanted to show what you would see in the trace if you called commit and you failed to close your connections before. Let's go to 55. The only difference in the trace would be you'd see this information message that the handle wasn't closed at the end of unit of work, but we would still clean up and release the connection back to the free pool. And we're able to do this because this connection can only be shared within the scope of that transaction, and we know that. And since that transaction is ending, we know that this connection can no longer be shared, so we are able to return it to the free pool. So this only applies when the connection is used within a transaction containment boundary. Let's go straight to 57. Okay, we've added this connection leak logic, like I said in the beginning, and this is enabled by default with J2C trace. And here's a sample of what you would see if a managed connection was held for over 10 seconds. You would see the managed connection wrapper information, how many open handles it has, and how long it's been in use, the start time in use, and then you would actually see the stack of the application code that's holding this connection. And looking at this connection leak logic sample, we can see that this connection has a handle count of 0, meaning this application did call close on this connection, but the transaction containment boundary never ended. And so this connection is being held in the shared pool waiting for the transaction to end. Okay, slide 58. Here are some references that you can go to for more information about troubleshooting with JCA and connection sharing and connection behavior. And slide 59. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The event link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more important information. The IBM Education Assistance consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. And that concludes this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria and Tiang, for a great presentation. At this point, Heather, we would like to open the line for questions.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask the question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone today, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 if you have a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to give everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Paul Stamets. Sir, your line is open.
Yeah, I just wanted to know the connection close logic looked like a specific trace, and I wondered which version of WebSphere application server that is available in.
Hi, Paul. Is it? We've added that to 5.1.1.10 forward, 5.602.15 forward, and it's in 6.1. Forward. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, that is star 1 if you have a question today. And I have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we would like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today. And thank you, Marie and Tu Yang, for presenting today.